that, I think we can open up for questions, and we see that there already are a number of questions that folks had sent in.
I think we'll start with the ones that have been sent in first. Starting from the top, can a local government receive reimbursement under the Community Challenge Grant Program for preparing a plan for high-density, transit-oriented development with some affordable housing? If the planning process has a specific timeline for completion that is sooner than the expected award date?
That is a good question. The short answer is that no, the federal government must authorize work prior to an applicant expending the funding for which they're getting reimbursed. So no, you cannot use this funding to sort of retroactively pay for something that you had done. You can, however, absolutely use this funding if there is planning work that you want to do for transit-oriented development, particularly to provide assurances for affordable housing within that TOD, but that needs to be for activities that you will be planning to undertake, not that you've already undertaken.
Okay. The next question is, in almost all cases, federal funds cannot be used to match other federal grant programs. Is this going to be the case under the Tiger Planning Grant Initiative?
Basically the answer is yes. There is some wiggle room at HUD. There's also a little tiny bit of wiggle room with regard to CDBG funds and transportation dollars. However, as I said before, in our experience with Tiger One and just the overwhelming interest in these programs, we found that it was much more competitive to have truly non-federal dollars on the table. So while it might be eligible, eligibility does not equal competitive. So I would just encourage people to look as much as they can for non-competitive dollars to show that there's a large and diverse group of stakeholders that are willing to put their money with and their time and energy, assets and creativity towards projects.
Okay. Kara, can you move it on? What's the next? Okay. Does the $10 million apply to planning grants? There is no differentiation in any of the materials that have been prepared, but that seems like a huge amount for a planning grant.
If you read the Notice of Funding Availability for Planning Grants, it specifically states that there's a $3 million maximum, and there is no minimum for planning grants.
Are those all the ones that were sent in advance, or do we have any?
We still have more.
We still have more? Okay. If an application is submitted by multiple users, does each agency need to register with grants.gov, or does just the lead agency register?
I believe just the lead agency. Whoever's going to actually submit the application needs to register.
A representative from a DOT indicated that the DOT wanted to present a unified application for a portion of this funding source. Is the process also open for the Metropolitan Planning Organization to apply for Tiger II funds outside DOT's application?
I'm not sure I understand the question. If the question is whether or not the MPO can apply whether or not their state DOT is applying, the answer is absolutely, that you have direct access to this program through DOT. But all applications will need to come through the Tiger II pre-application site and grants.gov.
I think they might be asking, I don't know if this is it either, but if they are asking, our DOT might be submitting an application for a project, but we want to submit an application for the same project, that answer is no. Again, one application per project.
Yeah, and frankly, even if we were to permit separate applications for the same project, by applying separately, you've already exposed that there's a great deal of disharmony in the project, and that is not setting up a terribly competitive application.
Okay. Would the total funds available for planning grants be $35 million from DOT plus $40 million from HUD?
That is the maximum that could be available. At DOT, we do not have to put $35 million towards planning. We have the authority to use up to $35 million of the $600 million through Tiger II for planning. We also have large pressures in terms of the competitiveness of the program for both planning and construction dollars, and some pretty strict distributional equity requirements, urban-rural equity requirements, and modal equity requirements. And as a result, we may find that we put all $35 million that we're authorized to towards planning, but it could be 34, 33, 30. It's really unclear at this point.
Okay. Will there be minimum and maximum amounts per award and per state for each or both of these?
No, this is not a formula grant program. This is a competitive grant program. It is also a small program. There may be some states that get no money. There may be some states that get multiple grants. It's going to depend on the quality of applications that come into us. And we do have regional distribution requirements in terms of equity. What we did in Tiger One is we divided the country into four different regions and made sure that there was an equitable distribution between the basically Northwest, Northeast, Southwest, Southeast. We might follow a similar process this time, but this is not a formula grant program where each state is guaranteed a certain percentage. There is, however, a ceiling for each state, thank you, under Tiger 2. This will not apply to a planning grant alone, but should there be a construction grant that reaches into the higher parts of eligibility, no state can receive more than $150 million through the Tiger 2 program. So if your state has somehow secured on its own $150 million through construction grants, it will not be eligible for any further planning grants or any kind of Tiger 2 grants. I don't expect that will be the case in any place.
Would these be subject to different federal overlay requirements? Would the HUD funds be subject to those of the CDBG program, which the appropriation was a part of?
There are some distinctions which we've tried to call out within the NOFA and discuss a bit today. But yes, for instance, if you are receiving funding from the HUD Community Challenge Program, you do need to meet the HUD grant requirements. Again, those couple to call out are those related to fair housing and also civil rights issues that we have within ours. Those are all discussed in the NOFA. So there are some distinctions there, but they're, you know, both grant programs, if you are awarded, you will need to meet the reporting requirements and other, you know, federal grant requirements that each of our agencies have.
For the 20% match for DOT planning grants, are in-kind contributions allowed? It is clear that in-kind contributions are allowed for the HUD Community Challenge planning grants, but not so clear for DOT. It would seem that the cost-sharing requirements should be the same.
To start with the last sentence first, there are many things that should be similar across federal agencies, but there are legal restrictions that prevent that. To the extent that the law does not permit the programs to operate identically, we will be following the law. To the extent that we can reduce barriers in other ways, we will do our very best to reduce those barriers. In terms of DOT, there is a pretty robust law and practice around what in-kind contributions are permitted and what aren't. I'm going to ask the people around the table to chime in if I get this wrong or don't state it fully. But, you know, for example, there, if you're donating a right-of-way, that could be included in a match. There are examples of that. But again, if you're trying to come in at the bare minimum, you will reach eligibility. You are very unlikely to reach competitive. So again, I encourage folks to think in terms of competitive, which is going to, if you've got a competitive grant application in terms of match, you're not going to be worried about eligibility.
Okay. Kara, I'm just going to continue reading down this list to make it easier for you to type in the responses. So I'll go in order of what you have in there.
Okay.
If in-kind contributions are allowed, for example, could the resources used to fund a BRAC transportation planner be allowed as an in-kind contribution? This project would include an area where the transportation infrastructure is impacted by a new BRAC building.
Yeah, this is Maria. Certainly from the HUD perspective, if the application were to be addressing, you know, land use changes, planning, visioning activities, building code changes that may be involved with, you know, updating a building built in 1946 with one that needs to be 21st century ready, all of those, you know, kinds of activities would be eligible for this funding. And if you wanted to reference, you know, the staff salary for your BRAC transportation planner, that would be eligible under the HUD funding.
Okay. Please address if Tiger 1 winners will be eligible and not discriminated against because of their win for Tiger 2 if they submit a new project.
You are eligible for Tiger 2 and certainly will not be discriminated against. I can say that there were 51 winners of Tiger 1 funding out of 1,400 applications. It would be very difficult to justify giving more money to a jurisdiction who had not spent down their first award. It's not to say it won't happen, but to have one project underway and not completed and get a second grant when there are thousands of other applicants who haven't gotten their first would be a difficult thing for us to do.
Is the max for Tiger 2 $3 million?
The max for Tiger 2 planning is $3 million. The max for Tiger 2 construction is $200 million for one project, but $150 million for one state. That may sound confusing, but the point is big projects should not benefit one state. And if you look at the Tiger 1 winners, our biggest project was $105 million. Now, we could have gone as high as $300 million statutorily in Tiger 1. The biggest grant we gave was $105 million, and that benefited between four and five states. If you look at projects like CREATE, which was one of our largest, it will benefit half the country. So the largest projects are much larger than anything you would see in one state. So the maximum per state, $150 million, the maximum per construction project, $200 million, the maximum for planning, $3 million.
And just a follow-up, this just came in, but it relates to this. The minimum amount for Tiger 2 construction is $10 million?
Is $10 million, except in rural areas. In rural areas, the minimum is one?
$1 million.
Okay. What definition is used for rural areas?
I'm going to turn this over to Jake Falk to help us answer.
For rural areas, the definition is based on the Census Bureau definition of urbanized areas. If you're in an urbanized area as defined by the Census Bureau, which is over 50,000 people, then you're considered urban. If you're outside of an urbanized area, and that includes areas that the Census Bureau defines as rural or urban clusters, then you would be considered rural for purposes of the Tiger 2 program.
Why is no match required for rural areas?
That is a question for Congress. Congress felt that rural areas are particularly struggling at this time and would be less likely to come up with the match. And there probably will be examples of those. I can tell you in Tiger 1, there were really robust applications from rural America that went well beyond a 20% match, that often the federal funding was the final piece to a very large project. And I can also say it was a great surprise, but a very impressive surprise in Tiger 1, that the amount of match being offered did not tend to relate to the wealth of the community. Very poor communities came in with extremely robust matches, and communities doing much, much better sometimes came in with no match at all. So in terms of being competitive, you know, like I said, even some really struggling communities were able to come up with very substantial matches.
And the NOFA discusses this a little bit as well in the factor that evaluates leveraging of resources. I think recognizing that trend that Beth just mentioned, in addition to looking at overmatch or additional leveraging beyond the required 20%, we will also be taking into consideration per capita income in the applicable jurisdiction relative to the metropolitan average. Again, recognizing the commitment that some communities may have to really bringing additional funds to the table beyond what is reflected in their region.
I can answer the next one. Will the PowerPoint be available after this? Yes, the PowerPoint will be distributed sometime after this. In addition, this is being recorded and we'll have the recording up probably in the next few weeks. It does have to go through a review and first before it gets posted, but an email will be sent out once it's available. Does the match for the DOT allow for soft match?
I think we kind of answered this one with an earlier one. If you've got specific questions about match, you can reach out. I invite you to reach out to any of our district offices for federal highways or regional offices for federal transit. They work with project sponsors a lot on exactly what can be included outside of a cash match. But again, if you're desperately seeking to just hit the 20% threshold, you will have an eligible application, but you're unlikely to have a competitive one.
Is the preparation of environmental impact reports eligible under this program?
It is eligible.
What is meant by a corridor strategy under the eligible activities for the challenge grant? Would implementation of a transportation project, such as non-motorized, be eligible?
Looking at this from the HUD perspective with the challenge grants, we definitely are looking at both corridor strategies and jurisdictional strategies and other localized strategies. So these are not funds for implementation of a strategy, but to help with the planning of the strategy. Or it may be, we have a bikeway that's being planned, but we recognize that there's some land use changes that we'd like to see happen, or we want to do some more community visioning around that, other things to help develop that plan and that strategy. But these grants are not for implementation activities, so it's not to pay for the pavement to create the bike path, for instance, to carry that example further.
Can HUD funds be used for land banking?
These are funds that can be used to support strategies to bring affordable housing to areas that have not had affordable housing opportunities and are close to suburban job centers. And so we are allowing, one of the eligible categories is for planning, establishing, and maintaining acquisition funds and or land banks for development, redevelopment, and revitalization that would preserve the development for affordable housing. So yes, that is an eligible activity. Again, I think given the highly competitive nature of this program and the grant amount, with a maximum grant of $3 million, keeping that in mind in terms of thinking about what could be funded with this source of funding.
Is the match requirement 20% of requested amount or 20% of the total project cost? These are two different figures.
Well, let me put it this way. If your total project may be much larger than the portion of the project you're seeking help for. If there is a phase one that you're only seeking federal assistance for, then it would be 20% of the cost of phase one. But it's 20% of generally project cost.
It's 20% of the requested funding.
Oh, there you go.
I'm just looking through. At least on the HUD side, it says that.
I guess it's very difficult. I'm not used to seeing too many requests for funding that are outside the project cost. But if you're asking for, let's get into it. And that's what I was trying to figure out to not get into, but you're right. Independent utility. If there's a way to break down your project into phases or
discrete portions, that portion has to have independent utility. This is particularly important for the construction side, where you might have a project or a roadway that could be built in segments, but it cannot be a roadway that would just end, you know, in gravel. It would have to be a roadway that goes from someplace to someplace, and at the end of the project, you know, could accept traffic on it. So when we're looking for the 20%, it would be of that segment that has independent utility. And if you're, but if you're asking for 30% of the cost for federal dollars, you're in good shape.
And I think the other issue around match is that we need documentation of it. And so again, with the in-kind, it can't be just to say, we're going to be getting, you know, people are gonna be contributing this. There needs to be documentation that that leveraged resource, so the cash contribution, you need to have documentation to verify and support that.
And in terms of the guarantees, to the extent that there are major actions that will have to take place to secure those dollars, for example, you may have a state senator who has told you that they're going to get you an earmark for funding in the next fiscal year. That is not going to be considered a terribly secure federal match. This is money that needs to be ready to go when the award is made.
How will DOT and HUD measure a project's ability to create jobs versus move them?
This is not an easy thing to do. This is something that, is always a struggle, but we tried to do an analysis of it. We found that this was an area of particular concern with port projects in the first round of Tiger, where one port was looking to increase its business, but it turned out it looked like it was going to be at the expense of another port. We'll just have to be very careful and do our homework on that.
What happens if two pre-applications are received for the same project?
We will let both of the applicants know that we've received an application from two different entities for the same project and give you all a chance to fix that before the final applications come in. If they aren't fixed, we will have the ability, well, frankly, we won't really need to disregard one or the other, that, as I mentioned before, it doesn't send a message of great stakeholder cooperation and involvement if you can't coordinate even on the application.
And sorry, I did miss a question there. Is there any penalty to submitting a project both under HUD's Sustainable Communities and Tiger II?
Not only is there not a penalty, we are, that's exactly what we're looking for. We're, the whole point of going out on this together is to encourage people to think more holistically about their projects and not constantly separate transportation from the community in which the transportation serves.
And again, we're not asking applicants to say, I am submitting for this pot of funding or this pot of funding, but to tell us about your project, to tell us about those activities that you'll be undertaking. And as we are reviewing, we will look through them to say, this one is, it fits more under the Community Challenge Grant, this is more of a Tiger II grant. This application actually is addressing both things, and maybe something that we do as a joint grant award that's given. And so applicants are not being asked to select which of the categories they're applying for, but to tell us about their project. That said, keeping in mind, if it's a very transportation-focused project, you want to be thinking about the match issue that Beth mentioned. But again, I think the point being, this is going to be very competitive, so think about not just the match issue, but how competitive can you make it in a variety of ways.
Now, if you've got a project that needs funding for from both the Community Challenge Grants and the Tiger II Planning Grants, make sure that you're making the application in the same place. There's one application per project, so and we are strongly, like I said, encouraging folks to look at a project as one project, and the land use or economic development side of a transportation project is part of the same project, so we strongly encourage those to come together.
If you are applying jointly for both Tiger and Challenge grants, do you want us to submit one application or two separate? And does the $3 million max apply to the joint application?
Yes and yes.
apply together, and the $3 million max applies to the joint application. You may feel like there's some benefit to applying separately, but that would hurt you in the rating factors, because you would not be coordinating your transportation, economic development, land use, and other infrastructure planning, and therefore would hurt you on the most substantive part of the application.
Can CDBG funds be used for non-federal or local share as specified in CDBG regulations for Tiger and or sustainable communities?
Yes, it can, but as we said many times, the extent to which you can identify non-federal dollars is going to be to your benefit.
Can a project receive both urban circulator funding and Tiger II funding, or is a project only allowed to draw on one source of grant funding? When will the urban circulator grant recipients be announced?
Yes, you can receive both urban circulator funding and Tiger II funding. When will they be announced?
Soon.
Okay. Can federal funds be used to match the HUD part of an application?
Yes, they can be, and I would just reiterate Beth's comments of yes, they can be, but thinking about ways to show additional resources being brought to the table, and I think additional leveraging, so that you're making the most competitive application that you can.
What sorts of in-kind contributions are acceptable for a DOT Tiger II planning grant?
I think we've discussed this a couple of times.
I'm frustrated with this program because trains are not feasible in my community and buses are just not economical. In Utah, how do I tap into these funds to link communities together?
Well, I'm not sure where in Utah you're writing from. Utah is actually one of our most successful areas in terms of streetcar, light rail, regional rail. In terms of livable communities, the Salt Lake City all the way down to Provo region is probably my favorite example in the country. However, this program is about coordinating transportation, economic development, land use, and other infrastructure investments that can and often is a transit issue. It is not always a transit issue. It can be about strengthening a main street. If you look at the Tiger One awards, there's a little town of 2,900 people in Montana called Whitefish that asked for funding to recreate a main street. If you were to combine those sorts of efforts, and you can see a description of that, those awards on DOT's website, with an effort to change the zoning codes in the area to allow for mixed-use development and really enhance that small town back to its more traditional town center feel, that would be eligible for funding and an impressive application. The movement, as I mentioned, of a freight rail corridor to reconnect a neighborhood, or if you've got an area that's been developing quickly and you now have residential neighborhoods that conflict with areas that used to be strictly for freight movement, and you need to do some redesign in terms of where freight traffic travels and where people live, that would be eligible. So there are many things in this program that go beyond transit that would be interesting and competitive that would benefit the livability of the community.
I think you've already gone over the definition of rural, so unless you wanted to, we'll go on to the next one. Does Section 3 apply to both project tracks?
Let's see what Section 3 is. Eligibility information, yes. If they are referring to Section 3 in the NOFA about eligibility information, yes, that does apply, and the NOFA also, where appropriate, talks about some of those distinctions that do exist between Tiger II and the Community Challenge Planning Grants. Also, I think gives a little bit more flavor for what Beth was just talking about in terms of the breadth of activities that are eligible activities, both on the transportation side as well as looking at, you know, retrofitting, updating building codes, land use codes, district development plans, other things that can be eligible activities under this?
This doesn't necessarily answer this question, but it does raise a particular issue that we do expect to give awards separately. There will be a pure transportation project and we'll only give transportation dollars to it. There will be a pure HUD project, for example, like Maria just suggested, a changing of building codes that would be just HUD funded. And then we do hope that there will be a subset that will be funded by both of us.
Is equity a consideration for Tiger II applications as well?
Tiger One was a Recovery Act program and was very focused not just on job development, but in job development in economically distressed communities. This is not a Recovery Act program, but you will notice if you've read both the Tiger One and the Tiger Two NOFAs that the way we're evaluating projects is pretty much the same. We are still looking to create jobs across the country and particularly communities that are struggling. So. Yes, equity will be something that we consider.
Will there be a list of who has applied at the pre-application process? If we are developing a regional strategy, it will be important to coordinate applications and resources. There are so many local governments, it'll be hard to know who is applying.
We do not expect to create a list. We strongly encourage local governments that are working on projects that might cross jurisdictional boundaries to reach out to your neighbors and come in together rather than throw an application in and then let us let you know what your neighbors are doing.
Will applications be subject to Executive Order 12372? Would our state clearinghouse in Sacramento play a major role in sorting out the applicants?
I think we're gonna have to get back to you on that because I'm not certain what executive order that is. But we will get an answer back to you. What are state clearinghouse playing a major role in sorting out the application? That may be a reference to what happened last year in terms of some states were very active in terms of working with their local governments on which applications would go in through their state DOT. This program is open to all government entities. It need not go through a state approval process. It obviously will do better the more stakeholders are supportive and involved. However, if this is an issue where it's a local priority but not necessarily a regional or a state priority, it does not mean that you won't match up well with the federal priorities and criteria. So feel free to apply directly to us on the merits.
Tara, if you could go down a little bit, those guest service comments. Can you please define silos?
Well, I think in this sense we're not talking of agricultural silos, I say, growing up on a farm. But really, I think just reflecting the institutional silos we've had where DOT programs have been separate from HUD programs, and in some instances we've worked at cross purposes with one another. I think the commitment both to work modally across silos, and so really integrating transit with the street network, with freight facilities, as Beth was talking about. And we've heard a lot over the past year from people who are really wanting to advance livable community and sustainability projects in their communities, but often they face those kinds of barriers there as well of how can they bring together perhaps the county transportation folks with the city land use planners and others. And so what we're trying to work at here is both working across our federal silos, our federal divisions as well to an integrated strategy, but also trying to make resources available for communities that are also trying to bring together their transportation planners, their land use planners, their economic development planners and others to really think about these integrated approaches.
Are joint applications approved separately? Can HUD approve and DOT deny?
We could. There could be a project that is applying for funding from both HUD and DOT, and there could be a determination that while it is not a project that we think is worth or is appropriate for co-investment, one of the agencies
may decide that from their priorities, it's still worth one agency investing. But we will be evaluating all of these applications jointly and making those determinations together.
What documentation would be accepted to verify the 20% match?
I would encourage you to look at the NOFA. It does have language that specifically responds to this within it. Towards the end of the NOFA, you can look at that, but I will briefly say, such evidence could be in the form of letters of firm commitments. It could be memoranda of understanding or other signed agreements. It should, be signed. It should look official. It should say, really, what is this commitment that has in place? How will they ensure that commitments to sub-grantees may be honored and executed upon an award from DOT or HUD? Please do look at the NOFA for some more specific language on that. If it's in-kind contributions, again, we want that to be given a monetary value that would be based on the local market value. So for instance, if there are staff in-kind contributions, how much is that staff person's time worth in the local market there? Again, just check the NOFA for more details on that.
Okay. We're now going to switch over to some questions that have been emailed in while this webinar is going on.
Okay. The first one I've got, if applying for both Tiger II Planning and HUD Community Challenge Grants, will that not be two applications, even though one was mentioned as the limit? How would you handle when applying, you must show a 20% match for the DOT plus a 20% match for the HUD?
Well, again, I think what we're saying is don't think of it as you are applying for one or the other. You are submitting an application for this joint NOFA. So you would be submitting one application, and you would be showing, demonstrating your match. And so if it is an application for an activity that you think, and again, look through the NOFA as it's sort of talking about these eligible activities. If you think it has a heavy transportation focus, then we would recommend that you really make sure you have that cash contribution in hand, and you could consider the overmatch, the in-kind leverage resources that you're bringing to it, again, to make it a competitive application. If you are submitting an application and it's really focused around updating your building codes to support energy efficiency, that would be a HUD-funded activity, not a DOT-funded activity, as Beth mentioned. But again, we're not asking you to submit saying this is a Tiger II grant. We are asking you to submit a grant for this joint funding program.
Yeah, I think that's really well put, that you're looking for, you've got the project, and you're going to submit the project, which has HUD and DOT components to it, and put together your 20% match for that project. Now, this is one of the reasons, again, this is going to be an incredibly oversubscribed program. So those who are putting together competitive applications will not be just, in most cases, will not be just skirting the eligibility rules.
Okay. Will applicants be notified if disqualified at the pre-application phase?
Yes, you will not be disqualified. If there's an eligibility problem, we will let you know what it is, and you will, when that applicant submits, unless the applicant themselves is an ineligible applicant,
right,
you will not be disqualified. If it's a particular problem with your application, you'll have a chance to cure it before your application.
Okay.
If we could just stop 1 minute. I'm getting a few comments in that someone's BlackBerry in the room here, I guess, is causing feedback on the phone line. I just, if everybody could just move their phones as far from the phone as possible.
We're on technology.
All right. The NOFA says July 16th as the pre-application date, but the webinar stated July 26th. Which
yes,
is it?
The original Tiger II construction NOFA said the 16th. Through the preparation of the planning grants, we ended up publishing the joint NOFA a little later than we had initially planned and wanted to give folks a month's notice before the pre-application was due. So we have moved the pre-application date back to the 26th. You have until the 26th for any Tiger II, either construction or planning, and the HUD Community Challenge grants
to apply.
And I just wanted to mention on the question we had previously about the pre-application date, that is correct. But again, read the NOFA. Applicants who have outstanding civil rights matters, that is an issue that may make you ineligible for funding. So when you pre-apply, you are stating in that pre-application that you do not have outstanding civil rights issues. And that is something that HUD's Office of Equal Opportunity Housing will be checking just to make sure that is, in fact, correct.
Okay. If the project is to redevelop an area with an abundant affordable housing, but has a real need for more and better housing choices, how should these be presented?
I'm sorry, could you say the question again?
Yeah, that's fine. If the project is to redevelop an area with abundant affordable housing, but has a real need for more and better housing choices, how should these be presented?
I think that would be, you know, again, look through the NOFA, look through some of the language, but I think in terms of the first factor, which is speaking to how does the project address the livability principles that speak to expanding housing choice, to provide your narrative of what are the issues within your community, give us some data to support the case you are making, and certainly HUD is committed to fair housing opportunities that, you know, is both looking at deconcentrating areas of poverty as well as bringing opportunities, economic and social opportunities to a variety of households. So I would just encourage you to look through that, make your case, and have your data that is supporting that as well.
Okay. Can an MPO apply for a challenge grant for the same project they are applying for under the Sustainable Communities Planning Grant?
Oh, yes, that's a good question. Yes, they can. As mentioned last week, HUD announced two planning grant programs. One is the Regional Sustainable Communities Planning Grant Program. Absolutely, an MPO could submit some application for projects to fund under the Tiger II Community Challenge Grant Program, and also be part of a consortium that may be applying for the regional planning grants. The Regional Planning Grant Program, I should mention, also has an August 23rd deadline, so certainly I think you would want to look at coordinating those activities.
Okay. What funds, current or planned, will HUD and DOT have for implementation of these multiple planning grants?
Well, speaking from the HUD perspective, our Secretary, Secretary Donovan, likes to say, yes, we have this $150 million program, but it's also part of a larger $44 billion program. And so I think, again, what we've heard over and over is from communities that are wanting to address some of their local barriers so that they can better utilize the much larger grant programs that we have. And I think that's really what we're looking to do with these programs is support those local strategies that can help to set the table for future investments in affordable housing and community development funds.
Yeah, I think that the thing we're trying to accomplish is to give state and local governments the tools to determine the best way to spend the money that they're already given through federal programs. And so utilization of the various formula grant programs that exist either through HUD or DOT or any of the other competitive grant programs that we have. You know, certainly there are construction grants to the Tiger program, though, again, incredibly oversubscribed. And that is very attractive to look at those competitive grant programs, but people should not forget that the overwhelming bulk of our dollars go out through formula, and that's going to all corners of the country, and folks need to, you know, best utilize those dollars as well.
Okay. If land banking is an eligible expense, is land acquisition by a community land trust an eligible expense?
We may need to get back to you on that, but my first reaction to that question would be both to look at the list of eligible applicants. I don't know that a community land trust would be eligible to submit an application. They may need to submit that in conjunction with one of the eligible recipients, such as the local jurisdiction. If you want to email that question to sustainablecommunities@hud.gov, we can get you a more clear answer on that question. Again, it was sustainablecommunities@hud.gov.
The next one, the presenter said that the max Tiger II grant is $3 million. What is the maximum for a challenge grant? Can you request funding for a project from both grants together? And in that case, what is the maximum amount in grant request that could be considered?
I think we addressed this in an earlier question.
Let's see. Next.
It's great, all the questions coming in. Wow.
Exciting.
People are listening.
Does a project that weighs heavily on livability, environmental, reducing dependence on oil, rate higher than a simple road project?
Well, I think that there's a belief out there that because there may have been road projects that from time to time that don't necessarily assist in environmental sustainability, that all road projects come with that flaw, and that's just not true. There are road projects that enhance community livability in a very strong way. Several of them were funded in Tiger One. Projects that reestablish main streets and create strong boulevards where there can be a vibrant town center. We also need to remember that non-motorized transportation usually travels on the infrastructure around roadways or in roadways, and that a huge amount of our transit relies on the roadways. A true complete street is the most valuable tool that a community can have. And so a well-designed roadway may be one of the most competitive applications that we see.
All right. Is an intermodal transit facility project with a parking garage and a public plaza in the heart of a transit-oriented development in one of the most distressed communities eligible for Tiger II?
It is certainly eligible. Let me address one thing there. In Tiger One, we found some very impressive applications that talked about an overall downtown redevelopment that included an intermodal facility, that included mixed-use development, that included affordable housing and walkability and bike paths and all kinds of really amazing redevelopment. And the funding that they were seeking was only a parking garage. Those were not terribly competitive applications. We did fund parking in some of the Tiger grants, but it was only a portion of a much broader range of projects.
Okay. Can I apply to the HUD grant for a plan that involved transit, housing, and energy, and then apply to the Tiger II grant for transit capital project, park and ride design and construction project?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they're if the question is could they apply for the Tiger II capital grant and a HUD community challenge grant, yes.
You could do it for the same project. You could do it for, if you have two different projects that are wholly unrelated to one another, and one happens to fall more within HUD's bailiwick and the other happens to fall more within transportation, absolutely. The restriction to one application is for the same project. We don't want multiple applications for the same identical project.
And that this program is not for funding the capital. It's for funding the plan.
What we're talking about today, what HUD and DOT are collaborating on, are planning grants. There is capital grants, or are capital grants also available within Tiger II.
Okay. The NOFA stated that the Tiger II project needed to have a large cost-benefit analysis. Who or where can we go to get assistance with this?
Now, the cost-benefit analysis is necessary for the construction grants, not for planning grants. If you're looking for cost-benefit help with regard to the Tiger II construction grants, there is a great deal of guidance in the construction NOFA that was published on June the 1st in the Federal Register and is also accessible from DOT's website. If you have further questions, there's some contact information available within our NOFA, and there was a outreach session and some help that has been provided in the past that's also accessible through our website.
Okay. The NOFA states that Tiger II needs to have an impact on the nation and or the region. Can a region be defined as two or more cities? Will we be competitive, or will we need to have more of an impact to be considered?
It could be a couple cities. It could be a project that is greatly beneficial to one city. I commend people to go look at the 51 applications that were successful, or it's not the applications, but the projects that were successful in the first round of Tiger. They vary greatly in scope and community size and project size, all the way from a $105 million freight rail project that covers a huge region of the country to a $3 million rural roadway grant that will be incredibly valuable to the community it touches.
Okay. Will the projects need to be implemented within a particular time frame? How long should the plans be for?
We said that they need to be initiated within 120 days of the grant being awarded, and it's for a period of 36 months.
Also keep in mind, Tiger funding must be fully obligated by September 30th, 2012.
Okay. We have several plans that are good, but they need to be meshed to make a comprehensive plan. Is this an eligible project?
I mean, I guess it depends on what sort of plans you're talking about. If you're talking about a regional plan in terms of HUD's regional planning grant program, you need to look at that program. If you're talking about a number of local planning, station area, neighborhood level planning grants, corridor planning efforts, then that would be more appropriate for this grant program.
Okay. We're in the first year of a general plan update, scheduled for a 2-year project. Can we use the remaining unspent funding as a match?
Yes, I believe you can.
All right. Land use planning usually offers no guarantee of outcome. Zoning or comprehensive plan process is highly political and fluid. How can we effectively guarantee that we can meet the intent and purpose of a public legislative process?
This is a really important question. I think, again, what I've tried to set out in this grant program, particularly on the land use side, is for communities to themselves come up with what is the land use issue that they are trying to address and that they think can be addressed through this grant program, and to think about how would you be able to evaluate success on that. And we are not saying here is how you must, tell us how you are doing X, Y, and Z. We really are trying to leave that up to communities to come up with those outcomes and those metrics that they think can help to demonstrate success along that continuum. And so I think in terms of looking at, updating land use plans, it may be an activity you're seeking funding to initiate that process and go through that process, and one of your performance outcomes may be, we're going to have a final plan as the outcome of this process, or we are going to be updating our zoning to allow for more multifamily housing, to allow for more mixed income housing, and you may be able to demonstrate that then through a plan that does indeed have those measures that you've been able to show through that process. And so again, I think thinking about where your community is at, thinking about what are those land use issues that you are trying to address? It may be that, you don't have the appropriate land uses to make transit feasible in your community, and so you're really looking to do some of those changes that could help to generate more mixed use, more compact development. That may be something that you could speak to, or it may be, again, on the freight side and thinking about conflicting land use patterns that are around your freight or port facilities, and so addressing some of those issues. So leaving that up to communities to come up with those metrics.
Well, and also recognizing that obviously, if you're trying to change zoning codes, that it may involve a vote of a council. One of the ways you can demonstrate a high likelihood of success is strong stakeholder involvement, strong public involvement, and a large number of the elected representatives supporting and working to implement the project you're applying for funding for.
Okay. If a planning project is in a rural area, must the applicant specify which category they are applying for? What is the best approach?
Nobody needs to specify. What you need to specify are the activities for which you are seeking funding. And then HUD and DOT will figure out what we will fund and out of whose coffers it will come. That is true whether it's an urban or a rural community.
Okay. What definition are you using when referring to affordable housing? Serving households at 50% of AMI, 60%, 80%?
We actually, again, I think similar to the land use question, we are recognizing that communities are in different places and have different affordable housing needs, and so we have not set the threshold to say which percentage that is, and we are looking to communities to, again, through the narrative of what are you trying to achieve, how will you know you are working towards achieving that, and identifying the issues. So hopefully that answers that question.
Okay. What name do we use to connect to HUD's tweet feed?
We are working to set up our tweet feed, so we are not yet tweeting, but if you go to hud.gov/sustainability, check us, you know, frequently, both for additional information and updates on these programs, but also once we start tweeting away, you can sign up for it there as well.
Okay. Can you explain how the maximum for construction projects, $200 million for one project, yet a state cannot receive more than $150 million for a project?
Right. So there might be a project. One of the silos we desperately need to break down is the state-by-state one. The fact that we rarely look at projects that cross state borders. This is exactly what Tiger was created to do, is to look more broadly than jurisdictional boundaries. So while a project can be as big as $200 million, no more than $150 million can go to any one state. Therefore, the largest potential project would have to benefit at least two states.
Okay. If my project or plan is an element of a work plan for a HUD Sustainable Communities Planning Grant application, can I also submit it as a standalone project? I think we already went through that one. And then the last one I have here. Can a complete revision of a 30-year-old zoning ordinance be considered for a challenge grant?
Yes, it can.
Okay. We'll now move back to some of the questions that have been typed into the chat area. Is there an expected date for announcing Tiger II awards, which will start the 120-day deadline to initiate work?
There is not a specific date that is expected right now, but the secretaries have told us they would like us to make the announcements in October. But that does, oh, it doesn't?
Can Tiger II planning grants be used to complete NEPA documents?
They can. It is an eligible expense. However, it will not be the most competitive application.
Are transportation node projects eligible, mixed use and transit stops integrated?
Absolutely.
The planning.
Well, and if you want to ask for funding to do some of the work within the construction, probably eligible there too.
Could one urban block constitute a community, existing elements of commercial, residential, and a dense urban setting?
Yes, there shouldn't be any problem with that. However, look again at who is eligible to apply. So you couldn't have just a ward or a neighborhood organization apply for the funding. It would have to be with the local jurisdiction, but the local jurisdiction could say, you know, we're applying for this project that is within this, you know, one block area. Again, think about, you know, how competitive that may be, but it's certainly eligible.
I would think for that to be eligible, it would have to be a redevelopment of a block that is a very important part of an anchor of the community. Maybe in a smaller community, it is, you know, the town center around which, you know, most of the town revolves. It would have to be a very important block.
I think you just discussed this, but earlier in the presentation there was mention of a 120-day limitation. Can you elaborate?
The NOFA says that you need to be prepared to start work within 120 days of the award for planning.
Will there be a webinar for the Sustainable Communities Regional Planning Grant Program?
Yes, there will be. We've been approached by some external stakeholders, and we've started to do some webinars with external stakeholders. We are also planning to do a HUD-sponsored webinar later this month. We do not yet have that date set, but again, I would encourage you to look at hud.gov/sustainability for information on when that is scheduled. For those of you who may have pre-applied for the HUD regional planning grants, we will also be sending out information to those who applied to also notify you of when that webinar takes place. There is information on our website right now that provides some additional background information and frequently asked questions on that program as well. So no need to wait for the webinar to get at least some information on that, even as early as today.
Will there be a webinar for this? Oh, I'm sorry, I just read that. If multiple rural areas apply in one grant, does that make their application more competitive?
In any case where regions can come together, that makes your application more competitive. The more stakeholder representation, the more multi-jurisdictional representation, the more collaboration across traditional silos, the more competitive your application is going to be.
Where is the side-by-side comparison?
It should be. I don't have the website in front of me, but I believe on the HUD website, if you go to hud.gov/sustainability and you scroll down on the page, it should be sort of in the middle, lower part of the page. There should be a click you can go on that says something like more information about the grants or something along those lines. If worse comes to worse and you cannot find it through that poor description I just gave, you can email sustainablecommunities@hud.gov, and we can just email you back the link on it, but that may take us a day or so to get back to you just because of the number of emails we've been getting from folks. So I'm sorry, we are working to make our website a little bit more user-friendly, so I'm sorry if you're not finding it right away, but it should be there if you click on information about either of the two grant programs we released.
Is it okay to submit more than one application as long as each application is for a different project?
Yes, absolutely it is. But recognizing how competitive this program would be, we would recommend picking your top one or two priorities and really focusing on getting the application just right for those. In the Tiger One round, we did have some applicants that put in a dozen or more applications, and in most cases, the quality of the application suffered because they were trying to stretch to do so many applications instead of focusing on creating one or two of the best applications that they can. And yes, this is a very good point. When you're looking at your priorities, think in terms of the federal priorities that we have made clear through our two notices. We are looking for federal priorities. The fact that it is a state or local government's top priority is a good thing to know, but is only compelling so far as it is also a federal priority as laid out in our notices.
For match resources, is there a time period where match and leveraging is limited to? Does the match need to be concurrent with the project, or can we use dollars spent in 2010 as a match?
Very, very important question, and something I should have addressed much earlier. Previously spent dollars do not count as a match. Your match must be available on the work that is going to occur when the grant is made, must be available at that time.
And again, I think the point about this is not funding to replace other funding that you may have committed. So, you know, if you were planning to use CDBG money to do a project and now you're saying, oh, well, we're actually going to move that money over and use that money now as the match, It's not to be replacing funds, it's to be additive to efforts that are going on underway in your community.
Someone did make, to make clear, if there is a project that is currently underway and you're requesting funding to complete it, and it's an ongoing project, then that would be okay. But not if you built half a transit line that opened last year, that there's nothing from those expenditures that can be counted towards, you know, the extension later.
Okay. Who can we call to find out what we can do to improve our Tiger One application if we want to resubmit it?
Our good friend Robert Mariner, who is sitting at this table, has his name and email in the notice of funding availability, which means his phone has been ringing off the hook and his email is basically full nonstop. Nonetheless, you can absolutely reach out. We have had a number of meetings with folks who submitted Tiger One applications. One thing I would encourage you to do is go to our website. You can find links to previous webinars that talk specifically about the construction side of the notice and what made projects more or less competitive, including a pretty long question and answer session that covered a great deal of questions, some that have been covered today, but some that were not. And I would also commend you to read through the descriptions of the 51 projects that were funded last time. We received 1,400 applications for a total of $60 billion for a pot of $1.5 billion. And we expect the demand to go up this time, and the funding is less than half. So the and we expect the quality of applications to be much greater this time than they were last time. So just because your application may have done very well last time does not necessarily mean it will compete great next time.
Apparently everybody has lost audio right now. Can you hit star zero and see if the operator can get on?
I think it's on. Plus,
someone has
it. It looks like it was on.
It's on. The light's on.
Yeah, the phone's dead.
Oh, my heavens. Uh-oh.
Everything's plugged in down here, huh? Plugged in on this side.
Yeah, it doesn't even turn on. And it's green.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Where's the power? I got it.
There you go.
Carol,
okay.
What do I need? Jen wants to jump in.
Oh, here's a...
Well, what do they hear?
Get the leader passcode.
Okay, and like, no one here is allowed to judge me if my answer is slightly different. You have to pick some other reason to judge me.
It was such a great answer, too.
I'm sure it's brilliant. Thank you for calling the conference center. At any time during this message, please enter your passcode followed by the...
People are making jokes about it. Carrie just read to you that it came in by email, and I'm in the chat box now.
There's lots of LOLs there.
The ones that Carrie's reading?
Please deposit 10 cents! Mass panic. It's not AT&T's fault for that, for once. That's hilarious.
Did you do the leader passcode?
Yeah, I did.
Start zero.
Please have your passcode and contact.
Line?
Yes, we lost our phone.
All right, I'll bring you back.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
Thanks.
That's a bad noise. What is that?
The speaker is now rejoined. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry about that, everybody.
Extra points to everyone who made a funny joke.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not sure where we got cut off.
Let's go back and ask that last question again and
okay.
go through the answer, because I think it was in the middle of the answer to that one.
The last email
yeah.
question?
Yeah.
Okay. The last email question that...
Oh, Tiger One debrief. So Robert Mariner is listed on the NOFA. His contact information is in the NOFA. Contact him. Recognize that his email and phone voicemail are relatively full, but we have met with a bunch of folks about their Tiger One applications to help them make them more competitive this time out. We've also done a webinar about the Tiger One process and what made projects more or less competitive. That is available online with a great deal of question and answer. Highly encourage you to go watch that. Also, keep in mind if your project was very competitive last time, it does not mean that it will be competitive this time. We expect the quality of applications to be much higher due to webinars and outreach since the Tiger One announcements were made. And I think that's about it.
Got one more.
One more.
Would two applications for different projects across the same county or area lower our chances to get a grant?
No. I think that the thing that would hurt you is if you did a large number, if you are stretching your staff to do 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 applications rather than really focusing on your top one or two priorities.
Okay. Going back to the questions typed into the chat box, can you elaborate on a level of detail for design that is eligible?
Yeah, the level of design that's eligible is broad. We're looking at the full range of design activities that lead towards the types of projects that are eligible under Tiger 2. So pretty broad in what types of design activities would be eligible.
What are the odds of money being provided to plan for housing on a project that may have been chosen for infrastructure in Tiger 1?
Well, I think there's nothing that would prohibit or make a grant application ineligible if it was saying, you know, we received funding for Tiger One to do this investment, and now we are seeking funding to actually do the neighborhood planning or the land use planning or the corridor planning to actually, you know, provide mixed income housing and redevelopment. That is completely consistent with what we are trying to fund through this grant program. So that's absolutely very much an eligible activity, and I think reflects, you know, the kind of shared interest that DOT and HUD have in this program.
Can you elaborate on what is meant by implementation of plans as an eligible activity? This sounds like we can use these funds to fund construction components from existing plans. Is that right?
That is not correct on the HUD side. I think what we're looking at in terms of implementation of plans is oftentimes there may be a great plan that gets adopted, particularly I think if you look at the regional scale, that regional plan may actually be dependent on local jurisdictions updating their zoning or their building codes. You may say, you know, we have a regional plan and we're planning to do, you know, sort of a TOD, town center, urban area here in our region, but the zoning is not in place to allow for mixed use development or multifamily units or other things. And so implementation may be those local land use implementation efforts to support the regional strategy. Implementation may be you have a plan, but now there's really a lot of community outreach that also needs to go in the implementation of, again, moving it perhaps from the city level down to the neighborhood level and talking with people and doing those visioning efforts. There may be, you know, other kinds of eligible activities for staff time, for the legal issues, for other things to work through that are involved in implementing a plan on the HUD Community Challenge Program. Again, not looking to fund the construction of the affordable housing, but rather to move the plan from sort of that 30,000 foot to those strategies, updating the building codes, for instance, to really allow energy efficiency and retrofits to occur within that community.
Will there be a seminar for the Tiger 2 grants?
There have been several already, and you can access them through our website, and we are looking at doing additional ones.
Yeah, there will be more, at least a few more in July, and there's at least two accessible on the website.
And I just put up the link for the Tiger 2 discretionary grant webinar that was held on June 1st. What amounts, percentages are likely to be considered competitive?
I mean, it's It's all based on what comes in. To give you some context, in Tiger One, which only had construction grants available, for every $1 in federal funding requested, there were two non-federal dollars offered. That's what happened last time.
I think we already addressed this one. Will there be a webinar for Sustainable Communities Regional Planning Grants Program?
Yes.
We did the next one. Will HUD NSP2 recipients be discriminated against vis-a-vis community planning grant for a project in the same census tract?
If the question is you've received funding under HUD's NSP program, and would that disadvantage you from receiving funding through this program? Again, there's nothing in the NOFA that would say you are disadvantaged. So no, there's nothing within the NOFA that would preclude you from being able to apply. I think, again, with all these things, it's really looking at, you know, how can you leverage your resources and build the strongest application that you can based on those factors that are discussed in the NOFA. So again, I'd encourage you just to look through that.
Per the NOFA, the lead is to submit one application. My confusion applies to how the lead should state the combination of a discretionary grant and Tiger II planning grant for regional impact in the pre-app. Since the project description is brief, should this be solely mentioned for consideration in the final application?
I think the question is that you might be applying for both construction and planning dollars just on the transportation side. And if that is the case, yeah, go ahead and put them in the same application. Follow the construction grant format and just mention that there are some planning activities that you are looking to do as part of that construction. Recognize that the most competitive grants will be ready to go very quickly. So if those planning activities are very final stage planning activities that need to be done before construction begins, that should be fine. But if you're just starting out planning and it's going to be a while before your project can begin, that's going to be a problem, particularly if it means that your construction dollars would not be obligated by September 30th, 2012.
And for purposes of the pre-app, it doesn't all have to be put into the project description. There are drop-down menus where you can identify that you're applying for construction activities, and a separate drop-down menu where you can identify that you're applying for planning activities.
What was the proportion of requested to granted funding amount for Tiger One?
There was a request. There were over 1,400 applications for Tiger One, totaling $60 billion in requested funding for $1.5 billion in discretionary grants. Over 1,400 applications and only 51 funded. $60 billion worth of applications, $1.5 billion in funding. We expect to have at least that much of requests in terms of requests this time, and we have less than half the funding.
Why is there a match required for the Challenge Grant Program, but not for Tiger II?
I would just respond to that. They both do have a match requirement unless you are a rural area under the Tiger II. So read sort of the NOFA again for the distinctions in those matches. Again, as Beth mentioned, Congress, in appropriating this funding to DOT, waived that match for rural communities. Congress has told HUD we must have a match, but we have a broader definition of match, which is this leveraged resources. So that leveraged resource definition and threshold, we believe that certainly rural communities are competitive and able to meet that threshold as well.
We are working very closely with our partners in Congress to address these barriers or differences that pop up. They're very receptive to working in the future to making this a little more seamless.
Is the urbanized area defined by the census or by the smooth boundary approved by FHWA?
I can respond to that. Federal Highway Administration allows the census urbanized area boundary to be smooth to avoid having a boundary that skips around, so that the smooth boundary could be used.
Can an application have a two-stage planning project? Part one develops a process and part two selectively applies the process.
I would just encourage you, look through the eligible activities. Both those sets of activities are eligible, and so again, I would read through the planning factors to see how you might want to package that, but there's nothing inherently ineligible about what that question is posing.
Can a project receive both urban circulator funding?
Yeah, I thought we did.
Okay. The City of Los Angeles has a designated NRSA. Is there an advantage in potential scoring if project activities are concentrated in such a designated zone?
I mean, to the extent that you can show that the efforts will benefit disadvantaged populations, that is something that's definitely worth highlighting in your application.
And leveraging those resources.
Do applications need to support an existing RTP within the target regional planning district?
It certainly helps to have an application that fits in with a regional plan.
And it may depend, again, there's different types of eligible activities. So some applicants may be looking to do planning efforts in anticipation of infrastructure investments that are included in their RTP. Some may be involved with retrofitting existing infrastructure in existing communities of which there are not new infrastructure investments planned, but it's really how do you better coordinate and revitalize that community based on what's happening there. So I think it definitely depends on the type of activity of which you may be seeking funding for.
Right, and especially for planning grants, you may be just beginning to plan something that you hope will go into a future plan, regional transportation plan. So it certainly, in terms of the construction side, it's probably, in terms of demonstrating regional support for your project, is good for it to be part of your regional transportation plan, but on the planning side, if it's new and innovative and something you have not thought would have a source of funding for, at least on the federal side, in the past, and now Tiger has changed that, it may be new and therefore it wouldn't be in there.
If a planning project has started and needs funds for a second phase, such as zoning revisions or consensus building, could the funding of phase one count towards the 20%?
No.
Using your bike path example from earlier, if you already have a master plan developed for this alternative transportation network, can you use Tiger 2 for preliminary engineering and design of a segment?
Yes.
Does the 15-page limit include letters of support and documentation of match?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. For transportation projects, does a regional project have to be directly connected to a national roadway?
No, not required.
Is a linked application different from a joint application? That is, must applicants apply either to HUD or DOT, not both, but specify within the application a subtotal that is sought from the other agency?
If you are looking for funding from both HUD and DOT under these programs, you need to do it in the same application. If you are seeking funding from each of the agencies for totally different projects, then you can do that through separate applications and you need not let us know about the other application.
However, just again a reminder, these applications are all being submitted to the same portal. So it's not that some are going over to HUD and some are going over to DOT. You are submitting the application to one point of entry of which we as a team will be reviewing and evaluating the application. So, again, thinking of this not as these two separate worlds, but one coordinated process that we have developed.
What about projects where growth will occur after the facility seeking Tiger II funding is completed?
Sure.
That there's nothing that would make that an ineligible activity. Wanting to do planning for a corridor where maybe they're seeking Tiger II funding?
Construction.
No, planning funding.
After the facility seeking Tiger II funding is complete. I'm just afraid I don't quite understand the question. Maybe if the questioner could elaborate and send it back in, we'll be able to better answer it.
Can you submit a project to HUD Sustainable Communities and the same project to Tiger II planning without a penalty?
If you were to submit them separately, there would be a penalty. You need to submit them together. If it is the same project that has components that apply to our various program, it is one application. For the purposes of this program, there is no HUD and DOT, there is one entity.
Will local planning organizations, such as the Southern California Association of Governments, be expected to serve as a partner?
No one is expected to partner, but to the extent that there is greater partnership, you will be more competitive. The extent to which you look like you're going it alone will harm the competitiveness of your application.
And I think, again, look through the NOFA as it discusses the factor for regarding capacity. And again, thinking about what is the activity under which you're proposing to take, and do you have the people at the table who can help to do that? And so, you know,
keep in mind also that if you are the applicant, you have to be the grantee. So if you are applying, when we start making arrangements to do a grant agreement or cooperative agreement, you must be the grantee. It cannot go to another organization that has greater capacity to do the project. If you do not have the capacity to participate as grantee, you should not apply.
Okay, we are about out of time. We're going to do one more question, and then we're going to wrap up, and I'll talk in a minute about the questions that have gone unanswered. Will there be another round of this funding, and will future rounds include implementation funding?
Well, I certainly hope so. That's in the hands of Congress. What I can tell you is they have been very much involved and informed in, well, clearly in the development of the programs, but as these notices have been developed as well, and they're watching with great eagerness and great interest. This is the second year of Tiger.
First year of
HUD's programs. I believe that there's a markup going on right now in the House of our joint spending bills, and we await eagerly to see whether or not they continue the programs, and certainly hope that they do.
Thank you. We're out of time. I know there's still a lot of questions that we haven't yet addressed. We've gone through a lot of questions. We will get the presenters today all the questions that have been unaddressed so far, and we'll get answers to those and get the Q&A out to everybody. We also encourage you to continue submitting questions. You could send them to freight@dot.gov, or if you go to the DOT and HUD websites, I know there's email addresses there that you could submit questions to, but we will work on getting answers to everything that was asked today and hasn't been answered yet. So thank you to everybody for attending today. Thank you for dealing with our brief audio issues. We appreciate it. And thank you to our presenters, and have a great rest of the day.